Pet, I'll give you a lesson in marksmanship.
You couldn't give me a lesson in long-distance spitting. Anything you can do, I can do better. I can do anything better than you.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
Anything you can be, I can be greater. Sooner or later, I'm greater than you.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I can shoot a partridge with a single partridge.
Here we go, everybody. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, let's get going.
Yes.
So can a rat.
Any note you can reach, I can go higher.
I can sing anything higher than you.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
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 It's been a long time since we've done one of these, and I think it's about time we start again. For one, I've always loved radio, and I think it's a very good medium, especially for short, timely bulletins. So that's what we're going to try to do on these live broadcasts. Remember, they're going to be archived about 20 to 30 minutes after the show. I'll put a link up on the blog and tweet it out after YouTube finishes its churning of the thing, and somehow, I don't know how it does it, but it archives it, and it'll be ready to go. All right, so let's get started. Our first controversy of the week is the legislation in Georgia, and here we go.
As I stated before, I do not think that we have to discriminate against anyone to protect the faith-based community in Georgia, of which I and my family have been a part of for all of our lives.
That was Governor Nathan Deal, a self-professed member of a faith-based community. Now, there's several things to note about this. Number one is his repeated insistence on calling the Christian community in Georgia a faith-based community. There are other religions in Georgia, of course, but by far, predominantly, the vast majority of those who are religious, at least openly acknowledge a religion, are Christian. And in particular, Baptists are probably the largest sect of Christianity. And Deal is specifically going against the Christian faith here, and we'll describe that in a moment. To recap this, if you don't know, the Georgian legislature proposed a bill some weeks ago to protect the religious liberty of those individuals who did not want to be involved in so-called same-sex marriage. Now, the bill took immediate heat from the Standard Crew, which we're going to talk about in a second. But the legislature, on feeling this heat, immediately caved in. So the legislature first caved in. They weakened the bill. They weakened it substantially. All that's left in this bill that was proposed to the governor was certain restrictions on people who would force clergy members and the like, religious groups, religious churches and the like, to participate unwillingly in so-called same-sex marriages. That is to say, if a same-sex couple went to a Baptist minister and either wanted to rent out the church for their supposed ceremony or they wanted the pastor to perform that ceremony, this bill would have allowed them to say no. The governor, in refuting these ideas and putting his eventual veto on the bill, used two main reasons. The first reason is that he said he had not, or nobody had brought it to his attention, anybody trying to do this kind of thing. That is to say, he hasn't heard of any same-sex couples going to a Christian church and insisting that they be married there. Well, that's probably true so far in Georgia. However, it's not the case in other countries that led the way in so-called same-sex marriage. There's already been couples, so-called couples, in England, and I think it was Sweden, I may be mistaken on that. But these were other, in these localities, in these countries, the religion is state-sponsored. And, of course, the Anglican Church is state-sponsored in England. And couples said that because the argument there was, well, because it is the state, and we're part of the state, therefore the state should marry them. Well, the governor of Georgia said he heard nobody doing this. And, of course, religion in the United States, at least, is separate from the government. So this is not really a good argument on his part. Just because he has not heard of it doesn't mean that it won't happen. And, of course, it probably will happen. And when it happens, I am guessing, despite some predictions of doom, I am guessing the religious members would be victorious. It's hard to tell the way people view courts today in an almost religious sense. Courts have the final word as if they were somehow sent from on high, which is absurd. But I doubt that anybody, any same-sex couple going to, say, a Baptist church and insisting to be wed there and then suing because they were denied that event would emerge victorious in court. I just don't see that happening, at least not yet. We have a long way to go until that kind of stuff eventuates. So the governor is probably right in that. At least no protections are needed for those religions who are going to do this. Another thing that might happen, though, and it's happened sooner, is if a same-sex couple wanted to rent out a hall that was owned by a religious organization that routinely, for instance, rents it out for weddings, real weddings, not fake ones, not imaginary ones, not weddings created by the state for so-called same-sex couples. Now, there they may be into trouble, although it is a purely religious event, a purely religious organization, purely religious business. That may be more problematic because the way the culture is going, they don't like to be reminded by Christians that the activities in which they are engaging are seen as sinful, immoral, evil by Christians. This is the very reason Christians and Muslims, and I'm imagining some Orthodox Jews, although we hear very little from them in the States, do not want to participate in these events. They feel, and they argue, based on their religion, that they would be participating in evil and therefore would become evil and sinful themselves. And to this, they have a wonderful argument. Thousands of years of history and culture back this up, whereas the relatively recent idea that the government is the one that is allowed to define marriage, which is brand new in history and absurd, would probably triumph over this. So in that case, I think the governor is wrong. And it remains to be seen how courts, because courts are our new God, the state is God, will be the deciding factor in this. And in that case, when that happens, there's only one thing left, and that's rebellion. And I think that's what we're going to see. Now, the second reason the governor vetoed this bill, or said he was going to veto the bill, I'm not certain if he's actually signed it yet, is that several organizations threatened to withhold their business from Georgia. These businesses are, and no particular order that I've been able to discover, Disney, which is aligned with Marvel Comics, the National Football League, Time Warner, the Weinstein Company, American Movie Classics, Viacom, CBS, NBC, MGM, and others. Now, what's notable about these organizations? They are all businesses that all of us would be better off without. These are all entertainment businesses. And the good people of Georgia should have just said right back in their eye, you don't want to come here? Fine, leave. We'd be better off without you. Do we really need these organizations dictating to us morality? The question answers itself. There's no reason in the world Deal should have buckled under this thing. But he did, Because one of the things, particularly the NFL, and in Atlanta they host an NFL team, the Super Bowl was going to be held there, or discussions were that it's going to be held there. I don't follow the NFL, so I'm not quite sure. They were going to pull out. And the Atlanta Falcons themselves came out and, I don't know what they were threatening. There was not much they could threaten except to move, at least voicing their displeasure over this bill. Well, the governor said, I don't respond well to these kind of threats, which is given the lie by the fact that he did respond well and with alacrity to the threats. He buckled under. Well, that is to say, it appears that he buckled under. We don't know what is in Governor Deal's heart of hearts. Was he or is he a true Baptist? Does he really believe the biblical injunctions against same-sex activities? Does he believe, as it is taught in the Bible and by Christians for 2,000 years, that homosexuality or homosexual acts, that is to say, not the temptations, the acts, are a sin which cries out to heaven for vengeance? I don't know. Perhaps he does, in which case I can't really see him vetoing this, or there were good reasons for him vetoing this, except that he did not want to lose the esteem of these companies. Most of these threats are almost certainly empty. Whether the NFL would have pulled out or not, I doubt it. I doubt it. There would have been a hue and cry if that would have been the case. Georgia, as I said, is predominantly Christian, as everybody well knows, and they would have put up some kind of a stink. And the NFL, I am guessing, would have backed down. So Governor Deal didn't even want to engage into this fight. So I don't understand why he did this, other than he never quite believed what his professed faith teaches. But again, it's just a guess on my part. I don't know. It's not for me to understand what he really thinks about these matters. However, we can say that the next time this happens, for surely it will, there should be some kind of a fight. Christians should pick an organization, one of these organizations, perhaps the NFL. There's too many. They're ganging up to do it to all of them. But boycott them right back. The NFL doesn't want to come in? Fine. Turn off the channel. You don't have to watch the football game. Every one of us should say the same. We're not going to give you our money. That's all they really care about anyway, money and their own status among their peers. That's why you see it's only the leaders of these companies who are signaling to one another. That's why all these companies join as one in condemnation, not really caring what's happening, but merely signaling to their other compatriots that, look at me, I am holy, I am against what you are against. That's the only reason they're doing this, as is quite obvious. Well, it's not the only state in which it's happening, as I told you. And after we hear this important message from our sponsor, I'll tell you of another one.
Yahoo! Mountain Dew!
Yahoo! Yahoo! Mountain Dew, Dew, Dew! With that real mountain flavor for you. There's a bang in every bottle of that good old Mountain Dew. Yahoo! Yahoo! Mountain Dew!
Well, a geezer I once knew drunk up Mountain Dew, stirred up a batch, and just let it hatch. And that was that. He sipped it kinda slow. Then his ears began to glow. With a grin of manly pride, he raised his head and cried,
Yahoo! Mountain Dew!
Neighbor, wait till you try our delicious soft drink. They ain't nothing like it. Sort of gets your jaws a-slavering just to think about it. So tote home a couple of cartons of Mountain Dew and have a big time.
There's a bang in every bottle of that good old Mountain Dew. Yahoo! Yahoo! Mountain Dew!
It'll tickle your innards.
It sure will. Now, when I was growing up, anyway, in the 70s and the early 80s, all the geeks used to drink Mountain Dew. I don't know if that's still the case, or they've moved on to these energy drinks, Red Bulls and the like. I don't know. I've never had one of these energy drinks, so I'm not sure, except plentiful amounts of coffee. Well, like I say, Georgia's not the only state that's embroiled in these so-called controversy. controversies of reality phobes, those who would deny human nature, which we can call reality phobes, for lack of a better term. If any, a reader has a better one, tweet it out to me, at MattStat on Twitter, and I'll read it out on the air. So what happened in North Carolina is they passed a bill to mandate that if you're a man, you can only use the men's room. If you're a woman, you can only use the woman's room. If you're a man pretending to be a woman, you still have to use the men's room. And if you're more rarely a woman pretending to be a man, you still have to use the woman's room. Now, this is what we call common sense. Women don't want a bunch of men, perverts, likely some of them, running around in the showers and in the toilets, being manly in there. And so North Carolina passed what we would think is a common sense law. Obviously, if someone is crazy enough to pretend, a man is crazy enough to pretend he is a woman, fine, let him. Almost nobody would care, really, if he's in the public. But what people don't want to do, just as in the case of Georgia, is they don't want to be forced by the point of a gun to participate in these people's fantasies, or illnesses, if you like. Nobody wants to be involved if they don't want to be involved. But why, on the other hand, do all of these people want to force this upon us? That's the real question, and I'll have a few words on that in a moment. But first, the bill itself had the same effect that the Georgian bill did. In this case, it wasn't the NFL, but it was the National Basketball Association. They said they were willing to ban North Carolina or something. It was really vague. All of these threats are vague. All of these threats are absurd. All of these threats are without any might whatsoever. And all at once, they should be tested. They absolutely have to be tested. Let's call their bluff on these things. It's absurd that they get away with this. The NBA said they were dedicated to creating an inclusive environment. And they were deeply concerned about so-called discriminatory laws. Now, friends, reality is discriminatory. Religions, by definition, must discriminate. The government itself must discriminate. If the NBA wants to allow women pretending to be men to play on their teams, this is a form of discrimination against reality. More power to them. We don't have to watch basketball games. Watching basketball games is not necessary for life. Let's call their bluff on this. Now, it wasn't only the NBA. Naturally, San Francisco, the mayor out there, Ed Lee, he has banned, so-called banned, city employees from traveling on the city's dime to North Carolina. So he said, anyway. He said they may not go to North Carolina and be paid for out of city funds unless that travel, this is a quote now, is absolutely essential to public health and safety. Well, there's the outform right there. Anybody who was going to travel to North Carolina could easily have argued that it was absolutely essential to public health and safety if they were among the in-group of the city government there. If they were on the outs, no matter if it was to stop a plague, no excuse would have been good enough. This is more holiness signaling by that's all it is. It's just plain holiness signal. The city of San Francisco and the amount of business it does with North Carolina must be minuscule. Official business, government business. So call their bluff. Fine, let them stay home. Do we really want people from San Francisco stinking up the streets of North Carolina? I don't think so. Welcome them to stay home. They're not needed. Now, another guy who's doing this, unusually not in an entertainment company, is the Salesforce CEO, a guy named Mark, I'm not sure I'm pronouncing his name correctly, Benioff. Mark Benioff. Now, he is famously anti-reality and doesn't like anybody who holds to reality. And so he is trying to find a way to take his company out of North Carolina, or at least not try to do business with them. But unfortunately for him, the Bank of America has large offices in North Carolina, and he wants to have them pull out. Now, I say, let him try. Absolutely embrace it. Call his bluff. Ask the Bank of America to move out of North Carolina. Please do. Have them go. There will be other banks more than happy and willing to step up and take his place, or take the place of Salesforce, take the place of Bank of America. Let's start calling the bluff on these reality phobes. They're full of it. The only thing they care about is two things, I should say, that they care about: money and how they look to each other. We can't help the second, but we can certainly take their money from them. That's what they want to try to do to us. Let's do it right back to them. Why not? All right, before we get to our last topic, there was a climate conference yesterday in New York City I attended. I want to do a weather report that sort of leads into the climate conference. Let's get to that first.
Now, with the latest in weather, here's Al Sleet, your hippy-dippy weatherman.
Present temperature is 68 degrees at the airport, which is stupid because I don't know anyone who lives at the airport. Downtown, it's much hotter. Downtown's on fire, man. Now, if you'll take a look at our national weather map, you'll see that we don't have one. So try to picture last night's map in your mind. Remember all those lines and numbers. Weather was dominated by a large Canadian low, which is not to be confused with a Mexican high. Tonight's forecast, dark. Continued mostly dark tonight. Turning to widely scattered light in the morning. That's it from Al Sleet. Don't forget, if you don't like the weather, move.
Thanks, Al. Always a great report from Al Sleet.
Well, you can't beat the accuracy of that forecast, and that's a very good point. Tonight will be dark, mostly dark, and turning to widely scattered light in the morning. The good thing about that forecast is you must agree that the theory behind it is exceedingly plausible. And that's unlike the global warming models which we are plagued in science these days. Now, regular readers know that I am a global warming skeptic. I have a background in global warming or climate physics, meteorological physics, and statistics. And so I know of what I speak. The new criterion, which is led by Roger Kimball, is lately getting into the act, and they sponsored a conference at the Princeton Club yesterday in Midtown Manhattan. I was there. The co-sponsors of this was the CO2 Coalition. It's a new group co-founded by Princeton physicist Will Happer and others. They're trying to do the very non-surprising thing to us, but which they call the climate surprise. Why CO2, carbon dioxide, is good for the Earth. And that was the theme of the conference. I'm going to have a write-up tomorrow in the stream, so look to my website, wmbriggs.com, for links to that, or go right to thestream.org tomorrow morning. I'm guessing sometime around 9 a.m. they'll have it up, and you could read all about it. So meanwhile, I'll give you a short rundown. Mark Stein was there and gave us an update on his interminable lawsuits that he has with scientist of a sort, Michael Mann, who is infamous for his statistical monstrosity, the so-called hockey stick. More importantly, though, there were, not more importantly, but more on focus with the theme. Although Mark Stein was hilarious in his after-lunch talk, as he usually is, were the scientists who actually showed up and demonstrated for us, proved for us, that carbon dioxide is a good thing. Craig Ietso led off the proceedings. And I'm not going to be able to tell you about everybody who came. There's too much to do. And you'll have to read tomorrow's discussion. But Craig Idso, who he and his father have done research for years showing the benefits of carbon dioxide to plants. And I'll just give you a couple of facts. Plants do vastly better under high carbon dioxide concentrations. And in fact, commercial greenhouses use concentrations of carbon dioxide about three times what it is in the atmosphere. And why? Because every plant scientist knows that that plants are carbon dioxide restricted. Their growth is restricted because there's not enough carbon dioxide in the atmosphere for them to eat. And that's been so for a while now, geologically speaking. And indeed, in times past, geologic times, the carbon dioxide level was on average about 5-6 times higher than it is now. And it was up to 30 times higher than it is now. 30 times higher. We're talking in all these global warming fantasies of a doubling of pre-industrial levels. And at times in the actual history of the Earth, it was up to 30 times higher. And there was no runaway greenhouse effect, no global warming that killed all plant life and all animal life. Somehow the Earth survived. Somehow the Earth did better when temperatures were warmer. Somehow the Earth did better when there was more carbon dioxide in the air. And that's exactly the case we see now. The Earth is greener now. Plants are doing better. And therefore, that includes ocean plants. Ocean plants are doing better. And because ocean plants are doing better, so are oceanic animals doing better. And this is indisputable. Yet it is disputed because the models make predictions of doom. The models are all built with the presumption that carbon dioxide is dangerous, that it's deadly, that it is a control knob of the entire atmospheric temperature and other things. Well, that has to be false because for 20, 30 years now, we've made predictions that were much, much hotter than we observed in reality. So once again, we have reality being cast aside for a theory. It happened in Georgia. It's happened in North Carolina. It's happening in climate science. Climate science is so politicized now that it doesn't matter what the reality is. The politicians have latched onto it as a problem only they can solve, a, quote, problem that will never be allowed to evaporate because the solution to it is massive governmental control, and that's the part that they really like. Well, like I say, there was many other people there. Ross McKittrick made that very point I was making about the model goodness. Dick Lindzen was there telling us that people don't understand the physics. Patrick Moore, the co-founder of Greenpeace, talked about ocean acidification and how that's not a problem and how plants and animals do very well under environmental stress, better than was or is typically thought. And Bruce Everett, an economist, was there. And like I say, the whole event was sponsored by the New Criterion and the CO2 Coalition. And I'll have much more about that tomorrow on the blog. I'll have a link and a piece up at the stream. And I'm sure we'll deal much more with this as time goes on, particularly since we see the politicians wanting to get more and more into the field to start suing people who disagree with their view of the science, their flawed view of the science. That's it till next week, everybody. See you then.